Hello, Jiamin. Welcome.
Hello.
Semicolon Spaces podcast is about the pauses in life, the choices we make. These pauses become a new path. Ordinary people like you and me have our own stories too. I'm your host, Linda. So today, I'm very happy to host my friend, Jiamin. She's an engineer by training. Was it communications where I met her? Most recently, she joined a church to be their COO, Chief Operating Officer. And now she has decided to stay at home because she just gave birth to her lovely twin girls. Look at the joy on the face. I think I need to cut this into a video. I want to say it's a soft start, but I think it's a difficult one for you. Since you woke up this morning, did you manage to take a pause? Was it intentional?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. These days, my time is really, you know, long and the days are really long. Taking pauses seem like a luxury, but I would say I took a pause this morning. Usually I hide in the bathroom. It's my little personal me time, just to freshen up, you know, get my face ready, my posture ready, and just say a quick prayer and then think about how to start the day. So that's the way I start, and it's actually pretty good to begin this way. There's little micro pauses that I try to do on a daily basis. Yeah.
I love that. It reminded me I should pray before I start the day. And then what was the hardest pause you have had?
Yeah. So I think I will share on two things that happened in my life where I took pauses, two significant ones at least. The first one was actually 25 years old. Jiamin then had worked 2 years in the engineering sector. But at the time, I would say engineering wasn't something that I had in my mind as a mid to long-term career path. So I was kind of trying to think about what else I could do, what I wanted to do. So I did a pause at that time. I call it my quarter-life crisis because no one else around me, my peers included, was doing any of that, right? So I took the pause because I needed time to clear my head, to ask myself pretty ground zero kind of questions like, what do I enjoy doing? What keeps me enthusiastic about things that I'm learning? How can I contribute further? And it wasn't a case where I didn't get to do any of that in engineering. I was actually learning a lot. It was a really steep learning curve. But as I, you know, went to work day to day, I just felt that it wasn't something that I foresee myself doing for a long term lah. Yeah. So I had the time to tell myself, tell my parents, give me 6 months. I just need to do a bit of a reset. As you can imagine, my parents were a bit stunned because, I mean, I had just barely worked 2 years and why am I suddenly saying I need to take a pause, right? But I did. And what I then did was book an air ticket one way, actually, and bunked at my friend's place in Sydney, Australia for a month. It was a country where I had just returned from college, so it was really familiar. It's kind of like being a stranger, but in a city that I knew. Because I really wanted to take the time off just to pause, think hard about what I wanted to do with my life lah. Yeah, it was hard because it was very lonely. Like I mentioned, everyone at 25, pretty much, you know, they've started their careers. And also because I did a 4 years honours, I was already 1 year behind my peers. So add to that, you know, me deciding to press pause in my life, I didn't have the luxury of earning income. I didn't have the luxury of planning promotions or what to work for. But instead, it was like asking myself basic questions. What do I want to do next? What will give me the most joy? What areas of work would really complement with my strengths and my weaknesses? And it was very nerve-wracking, to say the least. It was hard because which 25-year-old would do that, right? And I didn't really know where to start. So what I did was went to the National Library, walk through the aisles of the human resource section trying to find something to give me some help. And I chanced upon the book, What's the Color of Your Parachute? And it was really helpful. I mean, I had no idea that it was actually a really famous book. Just picked it up, brought it along to Australia, went through the book, thought hard about, how I wanted to integrate my life with my family, my work, my values, etc. So it was really helpful doing that, to be honest. And being away from Singapore had its merits too. Not to say that I couldn't do that in Singapore, but it just took the pressure off and I just had the time and the space to think, to write. It was really just a blank piece of paper, the book, a cup of coffee, and then just thinking about what I wanted my life to look at. So this pause really, I guess, served me in that season, and it helped me to find my next chapter, which was I kind of stumbled into communications. That's how it all began, actually. Yeah.
Wow, Jiamie, I mean, there's a lot to break down, but what was your mindset during the process? You know, you obviously told your parents. So one, what was your mindset at that time? Second question is, what would you tell your twin girls if they were to tell you that at 25, Mom, I'm going to go somewhere?
Oh my goodness. Wow, you're scaring me now.
I promise you follow-up questions, right?
Yes. So the mindset then, I would say that I knew that I had to do it. It was hard, but I just had to, because I felt pretty lost as a person. Yeah, I just didn't realize how much of my life was just progressing to the next thing. Education system, right? You just go through the pathways. But without really realizing, like, hey, is this what I want to spend my time doing 5 days or 5.5 days a week, more than 8 hours a day? It does get to you, right, when you start thinking about what that looks like as a career. So the mindset back then was, I wasn't really chasing passions or dreams, as you would call it. It was just really quite a realistic one, like something that would keep me enthusiastic about waking up to work, go to work, being in an environment where I feel like I can thrive and I can keep growing. So that was my mindset. And I guess I'm also quite a curious person. So I just wanted to know what was out there. What other things have I not explored? And it was useful to actually chat with a lot of people. I just, very kepo lah. I just keep asking, hey, what do you do for a living? What's your work about? What does your day-to-day look like? And then kind of use that as a checklist box, like, no, not me, not me. Oh yeah, this maybe. So that was how I kind of also helped myself through that process. I wouldn't also deem it as a mindset. I didn't think I had a very super positive mindset. It was just really just doing the best that I could at that point, just trying what I knew I could, using whatever resources I had at the time to just explore. Yeah.
Wow. And the advice for your twin girls?
Advice? Wow. I mean, I can't imagine if they came to me, what would I say? I think if they came to me and said to me, Mama, they wanted to, go and figure things out. Yeah, I would say, go ahead. But the caveat, which I'm glad I did receive as well back then, is don't take too long. Yeah, so I gave myself like a 6 months framework. Honestly, it was because of that, the amount of savings I had to make sure I could still get my next meal. But I would say to my girls, like, it's okay to take the pause to think about, being intentional in the way that you want to use your time and spend your time. And if that means that you need to, not do something daily for a bit, it's okay. But at the same time, caveat that, don't be irresponsible about it, so just don't keep just using this as a time to just waste away and not do what you set out to do. So that's probably what I would say.
Early days.
Yeah, I know.
25 years more to go. Second pause, you mentioned.
Yeah.
You want to tell me more about that?
Yeah, the second pause actually is right now. I've just pressed pause on my life to be in this chapter of motherhood. Although I would say that it's pressing pause more to full-time paid employment, I would say that I'm still working. I mean, being at home is not, you know, me just watching TV, lazing and doing nothing. it's really quite a task, happy handfuls. So this pause was something that I voluntarily chose in my journey towards stepping into motherhood. I think it was, it's currently I would call it a scary pause. Scary because I don't know how long I'm going to pause. I mean, there is intention to perhaps put them into preschool. I don't know how many years I would need to take to spend time with them. But why I'm giving myself that flexibility to consider how long this pause would be is primarily because I think this season of motherhood with them, like they always say, the days are long, but the years are short. So I just want to make full use of that, you know. And it's scary also because, you know, I do have moments where thoughts creep up where, will I be relevant, you know, by the time I join the workforce? What if I don't know AI, you know? What if I don't know how to write prompts? Or what if the world has changed so much that my skills are irrelevant? But whenever I catch myself in these moments, I just tell myself, it's okay. You know, cross the bridge when it comes. Of course, you know, from now till then, and even presently, it's still to keep connected, still, you know, meet news, keep curious, I guess, keep learning. But of course, the pace would really differ. And I think the other reason why I'm on this pause is because getting here wasn't easy. Yeah, motherhood didn't start off in a bed of roses for me. It took quite a long time getting here to become a mom. So in that sense, I'm just really wanting to enjoy this season because I finally managed to kind of get that desire that I wanted as a start family. And now that it's here, I just want to enjoy it, steward it well, and be present. Yeah, so that's my second pause.
I love that. You know, there's a lot to talk about for motherhood. But the first thing is, I think to really be fully present in this season, I that's kind of what I took away from your little sharing so far. What did you have to let go?
Yeah. So I think the most tangible thing would be my paid career. Yeah. You know, it's just a sudden realization that I'm not bringing any money and not having my bank account grow. That was pretty scary. Second, staying at home was never something that I really thought a lot about. So from having like a pretty busy schedule, being involved in the workforce, to kind of being at home where your colleagues are basically your kids, yeah, your family members.
Your new stakeholders, huh?
Yeah, my new stakeholders. Man, these clients are hard. but yeah, letting go, not just of that tangible thing and, you know, like that kind of life that I used to live, but I think also letting go of the mindset that is a either or thing. Like, oh, it's either you go to the workforce or you stay at home to be a mom. I'm starting to think about it in a more integrated fashion because motherhood is something that doesn't end, but it doesn't mean that I won't have a different season of my life. It's always changing, right? I'm not different just because I became a mom. I'm still very much me. It's just that I have two responsibilities that are heavyweight responsibilities that are stuck with me for life. But it's really important to see that it's not so binary, lah. Yeah. It's actually something that I'm thinking a lot more, letting go of that mindset of, you know, I can't be learning about this or doing this because I am a mom, but rather to see it as an integrated blend of us, me and them, as we progress through life together as a family lah. Yeah, so I'm not sure whether that really answers exactly, but that's kind of my two things. So tangible career and letting go of stereotypical mindsets that has brought me to motherhood. Yeah.
So tell me more about your new motherhood season. Like, what has changed?
Yeah, I mean, right now, to be honest, I still feel like I'm in the trenches. The twins are only 8.5 months. That's really still quite
tiny. We're talking months, huh?
Yeah, we're talking months, not even years. So I honestly haven't really been able to take a lot of time off, clearly, to process and think about this. But so far, I think when people ask me, how's motherhood? Am I enjoying it? I think the first thing that came to mind is always, wow, it's a complete dying to self. Yeah, it's not a loss of my self-identity. That's quite different. It's more that my days are really spent physically caring for them, thinking about how to help them in their development. Thinking about, well, right now my next milestone is planning solids, food, learning about their personalities, playing with them. So there's a lot of that, which kind of also means that there's a lot less time for myself. So I don't think this is, I'm not alone in this, I'm quite sure. So like I mentioned earlier, the only pause I have in my day is in the bathroom. But I think that, this season of dying to self and just being able to be more self-sacrificial has given me a lot more appreciation for what it means to be parents. And I mean, right here, side note, I really do think I can be affording a lot more gratitude to my parents for what they have given up for me, or even seeing other fellow moms, friends who are moms, and how they care for their family. It's not just the physicality of carrying babies. It's not just the logistics of, planning mealtime, their schooling, etc. But it's also the whole mind space, the emotional space. So I think that's something that I'm still figuring out. But it's been happy handfuls. Having twins, it's just back to back. It's like, having full day client meetings back to back, and then you can only break for lunch. Yeah. But it's been quite fun, lah. I think 8 months now, they're starting to show personality. So, they're learning how to make sounds, and they're crawling everywhere. It's a test of my skills to be able to catch them. And I guess I'm just looking forward to seeing them grow up. And I hope that I have many years to do that. Yeah.
They are super lovely. And so different, both of them. I want to ask you, is success important to you now? Mm. What defines success for you? Has that changed over time?
Yeah, that's a really helpful question. I think success to me has changed quite a fair bit. Yeah. Previously, I would say that I would define my version of success as one about personal legacy. I used to think a lot about how things are done such that I would leave a good legacy, that things would have, it would be sustained over a long term. But I would say right now, success to me is more simple. I think it just means being present, fully present, showing up to my family, just my husband, my kids, showing up to do the work of caregiving, showing up to do household management. And this is not just with showing up because I have 100% energy, I'm completely recharged, but it's even more critical to show up when I'm absolutely knackered and absolutely exhausted and there's nothing much left. But to be able to just say, okay, I'm just going to get up. I'm just going to pick up the crying baby one more time. I'm going to not start to sleep another time. And even though it's 4 a.m., I've done that for the last two or three times in the night. I'm just going to show up. So that is something that I think is success. And also with that, I think success to me is doing the best that I can, you know, just making sure that I try my best so that I don't have any regrets. Yeah.
I love how you spoke about being present, but showing up. You know, I think all of us are trying to show up in whatever way we can and doing our best. You know, we might not be doing like, you know, headline work every day, you know, but we're showing up in our small little ways.
That's right.
Even when it may not be encouraging. But yeah, I love that. I mean, I can see the real joy in you. Fast forward right now. What do you fight for? And what anchors you?
Yeah. I think it's more an internal thing for me, this fight. I think I wouldn't consider myself somebody super disciplined. I'm highly restless and I get bored. I'm fighting to be consistent, fighting to keep to routines, repetition, you know, day in, day out, doing the same thing. It's tough for me because I'm somebody who thrives in pioneering things, you know. New things excite me. And sometimes motherhood is a constant repetition, lah. Yeah, and it's not that there's no growth, but the growth feels like really incrementally slow. and it's just, you know, honestly, the fruit bears only perhaps many years later. But for me now, I'm fighting to learn how to be consistent, learning how to make sure that I fight against my own restlessness and ill-discipline. So what that looks like essentially is, like I mentioned earlier, showing up. But also, you know, I do love my phone. I do love to scroll my Instagram. I do love my Netflix. But, you know, doing that sometimes comes at a cost because I don't rest. And then when I don't rest, it affects my mood. And then, you know, there's a whole chain reaction. So I'm fighting hard to kind of do that right now. And at the same time, I guess it's helpful. It gives me a bit of time to figure out, to pick up some of these values so that I can also pass them on to my girls. Because, you know, I can't be telling my girls, be disciplined, be consistent, but here I am doing like the reverse, right? So it's quite interesting that actually in motherhood, I've discovered a lot of my own gaps and now I'm taking the chance to kind of work through them. Yeah, in terms of what anchors me, I think largely my faith in Jesus anchors me. It's about knowing that I'm not doing all of this alone. You know, being at home, there are tiny million micro moments that sometimes can make one feel really unseen. There's no visibility because your kid doesn't know that you're doing all this behind the scenes. So, you know, affirmation and thank yous, they're hardly there, lah. But I think that's why my faith anchors me, because I know that I'm not doing this on my own. I know that I can turn to God and He would help me, lah. And especially in this season, in this pause, given that He's given me the gift of these two kids, it helps me be even more confident that He's going to help me through this. It's quite scary sometimes when you think about outcomes or you try and plan for the kids to go a certain way, but life is never linear. You never really know what can come at you. It's messy, it's complex. So these sorts of things can kind of shake you up quite a bit, I guess. So, having my faith anchor me has really been so primary in helping me enjoy this season being at home and in this pause as well. Yeah.
Good. I want to talk a little bit more about the faith piece. What have been some of the most difficult moments with motherhood that God has truly showed up? You know, like we talk about showing, I think God has shown up also, in this. Like, in what scenarios has God truly show up and show him that he is real?
I guess first is the way he's helped me to organize my caregiving situation. Honestly, without the caregivers that he has given to me, I think I will be at quite a loss. So I'm just super grateful for my mom and dad and my mom and dad-in-law. They are over like every week and they are so selfless. They just love the twins so much. They avail themselves and, you know, they're not necessarily very young. They're like all in their 70s. So imagine at 70s taking care of like an 8-month-old with full burst of energy. It's quite tiring, lah. So I'm just really grateful that all of them have blessed me with their time and blessed the kids with their love. And I think that's something that I don't take for granted. So I feel that God has really given that to our family. And also just very practically having a health help that is very strong and good with helping me be the additional support. So I don't take these for granted. I think these are just really tangible ways that God has presented and helped me in my current season. There have been times where it's just so hard. Like, I don't know. I mean, earlier months, maybe a little bit of postpartum, perhaps the sudden loss of identity of my work, me, what am I doing? Why am I just nursing, being like a milk cow? A cow, basically.
You said it.
Yeah, you know. So there were a lot of moments where I'm just like thrown into disarray. Helped my husband very hard, lah. Yeah, he helps me with a lot of the night feeds. And yeah, he reminds me about what's important. And, you know, we try to have fun while doing it, lah. So I think God giving me a partner like that has been just His grace. Mm.
Hello, Long. I hope you listen in. You have to, I think. And looking ahead, what does the next decade look like for you?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. By God's grace, if I'm still alive, I haven't really thought a lot about it. I mean, I did think a lot about me and my this present decade. You know, I wrote a letter to myself last time. I haven't really thought too much about the next. I don't know honestly what to look forward to. But I'm just really glad that I have models like you. Those who have.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, because you guys are, you know, living that right now, showing me what it can look like. As you blossom into new things and new chapters. So that's one. I guess the bigger principle that I generally live by is basically to live my life backwards, right? So it's coming from a book that I read a couple of years ago with the same name called Live Your Life Backwards. And it's really, you know, nothing new, but it's just living with the end in mind. I kind of always do that. So knowing what I should invest my time in, especially, I guess, the next decade, I'll be definitely older and will be a lot more limited, right? Physically and just time and energy. But I think along with that, it's just, I'm quite open to see what new things can be explored. Sometimes, you know, when I don't have much to do at home, if I'm not listening to an audiobook or a podcast, sometimes my mind drifts off to like, hey, could this be a business idea? And like my stream of consciousness just kicks in.
Love that.
I'll be like nursing, daydreaming, and then it just comes and I'll just conceptualize stuff. It's kind of a bit of a brain tease, but I enjoy that. And in this pause, I think that's something that I unexpectedly am enjoying, right? Just brainstorming about other things that can be done, learning about new things. Long answer with no clear answer.
That's fine.
Yeah. I guess I'm just excited to grow up with the girls lah. I mean, the next decade, they'll be in primary school. So good luck to me and how PSLE will look like next time. But, you know, we'll take it as it comes lah. Yeah.
So what is your next business idea? Ready to share?
Yeah, I could give a little tease about it. It's really still conceptual, but I've been thinking a lot about glimmers. I've had a lot of low lights and triggers in my journey of life. There has been difficult times. I've experienced loss. I've experienced pain, disappointment. And in those moments, I think I've had people send love in micro moments that was like a glimmer, you know. And yeah, so I'm trying to think about something tangible that allows me to help others, send a little light to others in a world where maybe sometimes people just need to feel loved and be encouraged. And yeah, so I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. I need to run it by you.
We will.
Yes, but yeah, I think largely my brain space right now is a lot of this. I would say also additionally how right now in my motherhood, I somehow feel like I have more time to smell the roses. Like, you know, I just walk along the beach in the park and marvel at the number of types of trees that we have. Like, you know, you don't notice these things sometimes, but like of late it has been the case. So noticing little details and slowing down and speaking to people, saying hello, because, you know, I do get a lot of, wow, twins, is it one boy, one girl? Then I'll be like, oh, it's actually two girls. And it's just nice to speak to people, see where they're at. And that gives me like a little glimmer. Yeah, so my idea for what I want to do is kind of passing on that feeling and that moment to others. Yeah, still thinking. Yeah.
Can't wait to hear more. But yeah, I think with every pause so far with the different guests that I spoke to, everyone somehow found a larger purpose to serve beyond themselves. And I find that very fascinating and it's very inspiring. So like I always tell people, like, these sessions are like my own therapy. Like, I'm not paying you guys to be my therapist, but I feel like I'm in the therapy session. You know, just listening to things and ideas on how everyone cope with their different seasons.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing, Jiami. And final question. So this podcast is about stories like yours. So who should I interview next?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be great to listen to a young person. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like generally people who take pauses might be doing it later on. But it'll be so interesting to hear from a young person, somebody who press paused when everybody is fast forwarding into their future. It'll be really interesting to hear from them. How it would make them feel, why they do it, and how it feels like to be almost like an anomaly in that time and space where everybody else is doing something different from you. That would be pretty interesting to hear. And especially because young people are this spring, they run, they're excited about the future, and it would be quite an eye-opener for me to see what this generation of young people are thinking with regards to pauses and thinking about their lives. I
think we might be hugely surprised.
Exactly.
So yeah, I would love to. I don't know many young people, so please bring them on from church or from your network. Yeah. I'm happy to talk to them. But yeah, thank you, Jiami. The fact that we are in the middle of the pause doesn't mean that it has to be messy. And even if it's messy, it doesn't have to be negative, you know? So I like how you are showing up every day and doing things your way and finding out what could be great. Any final words for people who are navigating pauses right now?
Yeah, so there's a poem that I have been reading for some time now, and there's a line that has really struck a chord, and it says, "Live in the layers, not on the litter." It's written by Stanley Kunitz, and his poem actually is quite a sad one. It talks about the sadness that he felt when he lost friends and family. And, you know, he wrote, "How shall the heart be reconciled to its feast of losses?" So it's a poem that was actually pretty sad and bleak. But he ends with, "Live in the layers, not in the litter. Though I lack the art to decipher it, no doubt the next chapter in my book of transformations is already written. I am not done with my changes." So I think for me, why I wanted to share this as my last thought is because I feel as people who take pauses, we just need to have the courage to appreciate the depth of life and what it offers. Like I mentioned, life is not linear. Sometimes you have to take twists and turns. Sometimes you reach a dead end and you have to U-turn. Sometimes you're on a fantastic windy road and you get to your destination really quick. But to rather just live through the things that you're experiencing, the layers that you're going through that's transforming you, and not to see pauses or being different from the rest of your peers as litter, like, you know, the litter here refers to like garbage and trash. It's actually super useful to yourself to be able to take the time to think. And I think, yeah, to all the people who are on pauses, like, don't be afraid. It's not that bad to take a pause. It's okay. I mean, it's different, yes. You might feel the weight of shame, like, why are you doing this? Do you not need to earn your keep? You know, why are you not contributing to society, etc. But pausing is never something that is a dead end, right? So semicolon spaces is all about that. It's writing the next chapter, and yeah, you need time to pause and reset and think about things. So yeah, to all those who are going through a pause or thinking about whether they should pause, I hope that it encourages you somehow. Yeah.
Thank you, Jiamin. And shout out to Jiamin, actually. She is the one who brainstormed this whole podcast with me. From the positioning to the name to how we can show up. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's great to be here.
Thank you.